as the choir comes down, may we continue in a state of worship. What an incredible opportunity that we just had to sing before Creator God of the universe. We said we'll serve Him because we love Him, but may we serve Him because He first loved us. This morning, as we go into a time of prayer, this altar is open. We'd love to be praying for you. Our pastor is not here today, as he is continuing with Miss Ann as she continues in the progress of her surgery. It went well, and she is continuing to recover. And so continue to pray for our pastor and Miss Ann as she continues to recover. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, you are so good. Lord, even those words don't feel enough to speak about you. God, my tongue cannot comprehend the greatness of our God. The love of you, God. Lord, words cannot describe your holiness. Because you are so holy. Lord, this morning as we come into this place, God, we don't come for religion. We don't come for tradition, Lord. We come together as the body of Christ to glorify the name of our Father, our Heavenly Father. To allow you to speak and our hearts to be open to hear what you are speaking to our lives. Lord, I'm overwhelmed at even the thought that you would speak to us. What is man that you are mindful of us? But Lord, your love and your mercy and your grace is so much deeper than anything that we've ever done. And so God, this morning as we come into this place, God, we simply stand in awe of who you are. God, we fall on our face in humility before the great I am. And Lord, I ask that we, Lord, that our hearts' eyes would be open to see and to hear what you are speaking today, Lord. Lord, there's many in this place that come in with different infirmities and different things that are going on in their lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they will surrender that before you. God, that they will surrender all that we are going through before the great I am, the one who loves us unconditionally. Lord, I pray for our pastor. God, for him and his wife, Lord, during this time, Lord, I pray for recovery for Miss Ann. Lord, I thank you that we know that you are right there with them today. And Lord, this morning, God, I pray that the glory of the Lord shines in this place. God, I'm reminded of Acts when Peter was told, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. So he went to the group of people, Lord, and he said, let's pray. And as they prayed, the walls were shaken. And they left with boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, today, may you remove me out of the way. Lord, may my preaching and teaching not be in persuasive words of wisdom, but let it be on the demonstration of the power so that our faith would rest on you and you alone. And, God, that the walls in this place would shake. And that as we leave, God, we walk in boldness because of your great and amazing love for each of us. God, we love you so much, and we praise your holy, holy, holy name. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen.
From the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. And And God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. And that is why I love Him so. For I was made in His likeness, created in His image. For I was born to serve the Lord, and I can't deny Him. I'll always walk beside Him, for I was born to serve the Lord. My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in His footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. For I was made in His likeness, created in His image. For I was born to serve the Lord, and I can't deny Him. I will always walk beside Him, for I was born to serve the Lord. And the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the He grows.
Wow, what an incredible way for us to start today. I don't know about y'all, but I love to sing to God. I can't sing well, but that doesn't stop me from singing. Most of the time it's in my office where people can't hear. Some of y'all may not come back if I sing, even though the Lord has given me some songs today. My wife said, please don't sing those. And I said, well, if the Lord tells me to, I have to. Can I just tell y'all, we had an incredible family trip. First time I was ever on a bus with half of the people being under the age of 10. And the last time that I was on a bus. Y'all don't know if I'm joking right now, do you? It was amazingly cold. It was really cold, but it was an amazing trip. Probably the most incredible moment of the trip was walking through the Creation Museum. And listen, I love my kids like crazy. Y'all know that. I talk about them. I bring them up on stage. They probably don't enjoy that as much. But I had the opportunity at the Creation Museum for about 20, 30 minutes to literally just, my daughter and I, just to walk through the gospel. And it was so just incredible to me that in the Creation Museum they have the creation and the beauty of the garden, and people are like, you know, what about dinosaurs? And in that little portion of it, man, they got dinosaurs eating fruit, because previous to the fall there was no death, right? And so my daughter is sitting there and she's like, man, this is awesome, Daddy. Look at this. She's like, Adam and Eve look like they're having a wonderful time. And I was like, they were, baby girl, they were. And then comes the fall. And they take of the fruit, and you see with the animatronics of Adam and Eve, and they're holding the fruit. And right after that, in the next scene, is chaos. I don't know if it's the cave or the tunnel of chaos. I don't know, but it has 9/11. It has all the different things from Hitler and all these different things that happened, and just mad chaos, and they're screaming and yelling. And my daughter said, Daddy, 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 I don't want to be here. I want to go back there. And I said, baby girl, praise God for Jesus, that he came and died for you and I, that we don't have to stay here. And it just so happened that there was an emergency exit in that cave. I was able to say, listen, Jesus provided a way. Continue to pray for my daughter. What an incredible statement by a six-year-old to say, Daddy, I don't want to stay here. I want to be back there. Isn't that, that's how God designed it for us. But because of the fall of man, we live in a fallen world with brokenness and pain and death. But praise God that he loves us that much. He loves us that much. I'm going to get there in a minute. But his love for us is greater than we could ever fathom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, you're so good, and I'm just overwhelmed today. God, I pray that just the overflow of my heart will pour out in this place this morning. And God, I pray that you'll just simply remove me and allow your presence and your grace and your love and your mercy just to flow in this place, oh God. Lord, we love you and praise you, for it's in your name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. How many of y'all have ever gotten a gift in life? Anybody ever gotten a gift? Something. Just something. Everybody, right? Has probably gotten something in life. If not, you probably got something on your birthday, maybe at Christmas. But listen, there's been times you got something. But there's always that time where all of a sudden you got something that was like so much bigger than you could ever imagine, right? Has that ever happened to anybody in the room? Like, every now and then, I know this sounds crazy, but every now and then I'll watch The Price is Right, and they'll get these big old gifts, and they're like going crazy, right? I know y'all don't watch that show, but listen, they're going crazy. I'll never forget when I was 17 years old. I was graduating from high school, and my grandmother, who we call Mamaw, who I love dearly, I preached her funeral not too long ago. I learned how difficult that is. I mean, she invested in my life. She'd always take me to church. But when I was 17 years old, my grandmother at graduation handed me the keys to a brand new Ford Mustang. I don't know about y'all, but I was like, thank you so much. Like, I mean, I was like overwhelmed. I mean, think about that for a second. Think about receiving paid off, no payments, the keys to a brand new vehicle. Now listen, I was 17 years old. There was a lot of prayer that I would not hurt myself in that car. But I began to share with people. I wanted to tell them. They were like, what are you doing driving this thing? Like, man, like my grandmother gave this to me. Like this was her gift to me. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable. But my grandmother gave me that car because of her love for me. She gave me that car because of her love of her grandson. I couldn't earn it. It was just simply the fact that I was her grandson and that she loved me, and her and my grandfather, who at the time had already passed away, that was something that they wanted to do for their grandchildren. You know, today, I think about this overwhelmingness of what happened. I mean, listen, I'm 34 years old today, And at 17, I mean, my brain was just like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm about to be driving a brand new car, much less a Mustang. But today, I'm completely overwhelmed at the incredible love of God. You know, what my grandmother gave me that in this world, I mean, I heard the gasp when y'all heard me say that she gave me a brand new Ford Mustang. But let me just tell you that my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, gave us something that is so much greater than anything material. He said, I love you with an unrelenting love that He pursued us to all ends. Romans 5:8, many of y'all are like, I knew you were coming with that verse. It says, God demonstrated His love towards us. He pursued us. He continued to be unrelenting, that He was going after us, that He loved us that much, that while we were sinners, and let me just stop for a second here. While we were still sinners, listen, we are coming up on Resurrection Sunday. While we were like Judas, while we were like Barabbas, while we were running away from God. Think about Barabbas for a second. A murderer, or at least, a sinner. He had done all these different things, and yet he was released, and the Son of God was sentenced to death. Isn't that what has taken place in our lives? That we were sinners, that we ran away from God, that we had literally spit in the face of God, that we wanted nothing to do with God. We were children of wrath, as the Word of God says. And He said, I love you that much, that though you were Barabbas, though you were Judas, though you have lived in sin, and though you have turned from me, I'm going to send my Son because I love you that much. I can't fathom, I can't even put it into human words how big and how great the unrelenting love of the Father is for you and I. He pursues us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that what? He gave. And listen, He didn't give us a material thing like a car. He gave His Son. I can't get past it. In 1 John 3:16, it says, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, that He gave His life for us. We know love by this. By what Christ did on the cross, by God's great, the Heavenly Father's great love for us, we know and understand love. But man, it says in Romans 8:35 through 39, it says this. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Let me just stop there for a second. Who will separate us? What can separate us from God's unrelenting love? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can separate me from God's love. And let me tell you something. I can't fathom that. I'm a sinner. I'm fallen. I'm broken. There's days that I'm not surrendered. There's days that I try to do things on my own power. There's days that I walk in worry and fear and consumed by the world. And God says, I still love you, David. I can't fathom it. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or pearl? Or sword? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In verse 37 it says, but in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him who what? Who loved us. It's by His love, as we sit there in awe of who God is and His love for us, that we're conquerors in every situation of our life. It's by God's love that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And Jesus died on the cross. What did he do? He conquered death, the grave, and hell. It's by his great love that we're more than conquerors today. And let me ask you this question. How often do we say, God, where are you? What's going on, God? Have you forsaken me? Have you left me? I'm worrying, I'm fearful, I'm in all this situation. I don't know what's going on, God, where are you? And God's saying, I love you. Verse 38, for I'm convinced. I love that. Are you convinced? Are you convinced today? For I'm convinced, and maybe some of you are like, I need to know what I'm convinced of here. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Let me ask you that question. Are you convinced today that nothing you can do can take you away from the love of God? I think of my little boy Samuel. Man, I love Samuel. We named him Samuel because the word of God says Samuel grew in stature and favor with God and man. But when Samuel does something that's against the rules or the law at the house, and daddy catches him, some of you would call it bust it. And you can see little Samuel's face just. But so often as a little four-year-old, here's what happens. And he runs. Because in that moment, he doesn't want to face the fact that he has just been busted. Let's just be honest for a moment. How many of us have little boy Samuel in our heart? All of a sudden, busted. An area of our life we weren't surrendering. An area of our life that we were worried and fearful. An area that we're not handing over to God. And busted. And all of a sudden we're like, hey, it's a whole lot easier, we think in our mind, to run. Or to go to sleep. Or just to get away. And in that moment, I'll go to Samuel, and I'll say, Samuel, wherever he is, sometimes it takes me a minute because he's hiding somewhere. Come on, y'all know the truth. Y'all know, y'all been through this. You know, I mean, you just got to look for the big lump somewhere, and there he is. You go up to Samuel, and I say, Samuel, I want you to know that Dad's love for you, my love for you, there's nothing that you can do that can change my love for you, Samuel. There's nothing you can do. I love you unconditionally, Samuel. Is that not on a very small understanding of what God does towards us? So often, when there's something in our life that God's disciplining us of, we run as far as we can. We try to avoid it. We try not to go through it. And God's saying, hey, nothing you can do, no depth, no height, nothing can take you away from my love. I love you. It even says in Hebrews that it's the love of the Father that disciplines us. He's walking us through that. He wants to walk with us through this so that we will look more like Jesus and that more of our life will be surrendered to him. But yet so often, because we begin to think, oh no, what's the Father going to do because I have now walked in sin, and we turn and run. And God's saying, you don't understand my great love for you. No depth. No height, neither death nor life or angels or principalities, nothing can take you and separate you from the love of the Father. Can we just stop for a moment and just think for a moment of the love of God? Listen, I was destined to hell because I was born into sin. And God, in his rich and great mercy and his love for me, sent Jesus. I can't even fathom it. But you've got to understand that too often we can get busy in our day. We can get focused on all the things around us, and we miss the fact that our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. I told you I was going to sing, but there's a song that I do want to sing together. I just want to sing this together. We're going to sing it a cappella. I'm going to start, and then I'm going to turn the mic off so we sing together. It's a hymn. It's called "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." But I want you to hear these before we sing it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrow and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and he suffered and died alone. The last verse, oh, and guys, it's okay if we shout. Hey, it's okay to get excited that God loves us unconditionally. If it's not okay, then I need to go sit down because I'm telling you, I'm getting Holy Ghost chill bumps up here. When with the ransom in glory his face I last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of what? His love for me. Whew. Can we sing that together this morning? They're going to have the words on the screen. And we're just going to sing. Listen, I just want you to worship God. Don't just sing this song because you know it and you're just doing it because I asked you to. Listen, this has to be to the King and Christ alone. If that's the heart, if you're in awe of who he is and his love for you, then let's proclaim this song together. You ready? Brother Ed, you ready?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. I could sing that all day long. And if you were in my office yesterday, you would have heard that song all day long. As I shared with you that my grandmother gave me this brand new Ford Mustang, it wasn't truly a reality till I had accepted those keys. The offer was there. The car was paid for. But until I took those keys, it was not truly a reality. See, God's love is for all people. God so loved the world. Or you can say the whole world. God so loved the world. His great love is for all. But it says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, 18 through 20, it says, well, I'll just read it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And then it says that they are without excuse. Listen, not a single person in this room has an excuse for refusing the love of the Father. Not a single person. It says in the scripture that we are known of this. But it says that they suppress the truth. Why do people suppress the truth of God's amazing, unbelievable, indescribable love? Why do people suppress that truth? It tells us in John chapter 3, right after John 3:16, you go down to verse 19 and 20, it says, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and the men loved darkness rather than the light. Here's the issue. The love of the Father is for all people. But here's the thing. Men loved the darkness rather than the light. And then it says on in there that they were afraid that their deeds would be exposed. Can I just tell you something? You can live life loving the darkness and refuting the love of God. But let me tell you something. Galatians 6 tells us that God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. You can hide and keep it in the darkness. You can try to hide your deeds all day long. But let me tell you something. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. And it says on over in the scripture, Psalm 139, and over in the New Testament, it says that God knows our heart better than we do. What an arrogant and prideful statement to say, I'm going to hide my deeds because God won't see them in the dark. Are you kidding me? It says in Psalms 139, where can I go? Well, I'm not in His presence. You really think hiding your sin and your junk in the darkness, your sin, your pain, all that stuff, hiding that in the darkness is going to keep it from Christ, from God? He knows your heart better than we do. Better than you do. And God's saying, hey, the love of the Father is for all people. But let me tell you something, just like that car, until I received those keys, it was not mine. Some people today, maybe listening by live stream, maybe here in this room, that you've been trying so hard in your own power to hide your darkness, to hide your deeds. And let me tell you something, God knows about every one of them. Every one of them. The evil one, Satan, wants you so desperately to feel like you have some security in hiding it. But let me tell you something, he's the father of all lies. And he's lying to you. Because the scripture tells us that the people love the darkness more than the light. And so they didn't run to the light. Romans tells us that all knows. We all have an understanding. We know about God. And John tells us that they love the darkness. They are without excuse. Let me show you two people in the Bible where their hearts were opened. The eyes of their heart were opened. Today I wanted just to dwell on the love of God. But by the love of God, our eyes must be opened. The heart, the eyes of the heart must be opened. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, I won't read all of it, But this is the road to Damascus by Saul. Saul had two names, Saul and Paul. And Saul was on the road to Damascus. And let me tell you something. He was a zealot, a religious zealot. He was doing what he thought was right religiously. Persecuting Christians. I mean, he had it all together religiously. Go to Philippians and you see all about that. He was blinded by religion. And then on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, the light of God shines and says, Paul, who are you? What are you doing to me? Why are you persecuting? Let's flip over to that. Let me just read it. Acts 9, verse 4. And he fell on the ground and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then Saul's eyes were blinded. He said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. And his eyes, there were scales over his eyes. But let me tell you something. The eyes of his heart were opened to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Saul has a Damascus Road experience. He has a transformation in his life. Let me tell you, from that point on, let me tell you what happens in Paul's life. Saul, Paul, he becomes the greatest missionary that we have ever read about, that we know about. He's out there sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. Why? Because he was overwhelmed by the love of the Father. God said, I loved you, Paul. I love you. I sent Jesus for you, that you may have life. And as Paul was overwhelmed by the love of the Father, it compelled him to go forward for the kingdom of God. There's another person, Simon Peter, in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we see Simon Peter is out on a boat, and he comes in, and Jesus gets on the boat, and he says, let's go out to the deep. One of my favorite statements is Jesus tells him, he says, hey, I want you to cast the nets out. And Paul, I'm going to get him right in a minute. Paul says to him, he says, hey, wait, I'm a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. And he says, this is like a life verse for me. Many of them, Genesis to Revelation is my life verse. But this is a life verse to me. He says, Master, but because you say so, I will. Man, what an incredible moment by Peter. Are we there, church? Lord, because you say so, I will. In view of your great and amazing love for me, unconditional love for me, because you say so, I will. All of a sudden, the nets are filling up with fish to the point that the boat begins to sink. Now, I wouldn't think that'd be a bad problem. That's a lot of fish. But once I see water coming over the edge, I'm like, we got a problem. But what is Simon Peter's response? He falls on his face. And he says, Jesus, I'm a sinful man. See, the eyes of Simon Peter's heart was opened. And he saw the great love of the Father. Let me ask you this question today. Are the eyes of your heart open to the King, or are you still trying to hide it in the darkness? The love of the Father is for you and for me. I can't explain it in human terms. I've tried so hard this morning, and all I do is cry because I can't fathom it. But the love of the Father is for you. So then we see two stories unfold. Simon Peter, just two chapters over in Luke 7, Brother Fred preached an incredible message on the spirit of Simon just a month ago. And what do we see? All of a sudden, Jesus is there, and the lady comes, and she begins to weep and begins to wash the feet of Jesus with her hair and her tears. And Simon is just going about his daily work, his daily thing. And God looks at him, and he says, hey, basically, he says, what's going on here? What's happening with her? She is overwhelmed by the love of the Father, but Simon has just gotten just acquaintance with it. Like, he's just daily life. It's just natural to him. It's just, everything's good. Like, he's not overwhelmed in this moment, and he's just doing life. When my grandmother gave me that car, first 6 months, I wanted everybody to know about it. I thought I was real cool at the stoplights. About a year into it, I didn't share with as many people. And by a couple years into it, it was just a car. I was very thankful. I wasn't being entitled. I was very thankful for the car. But over time, it began to just become a natural, just normal thing to me. And I believe that what we see in Luke 7 with Simon Peter can happen to each one of us. Man, we got saved at a young age. Man, God opened my eyes as a child. I was going from my grandmother's house back home, and my mother and I were riding in the car, and I looked at her and said, "Mom, you've got to share with me and explain to me what's going to happen to me." And she explained the gospel to me. And right there, through incredible joy, but yet just weeping of what God had done it for me on the cross and what God, His love was so great for me, I literally just began to weep and to cry. I can still in this moment go back and sit there at I-10 and I-65 interchange, going north on I-65 in a red minivan. I'm sitting there weeping before holy God. My eyes and my heart were open. But there's been times in my life where I just became accustomed to it. God loves me. God loves me. God died for me. We sing songs about it. God love me. God loves me. And we just sing because it's just another song. We get to a place where we just do life and we're not overwhelmed by the incredible love of the Father. Let me ask you today, body of Christ, are there moments in our life, are we even there today, where we can become dull? That what God did that moment when your eyes were open and you saw the incredible love of the Father, that we can have everything in life, and we just miss the incredible moment of how much our God loves us. We see Simon Peter. We see him get into a routine. We get see him just being okay with it. But praise God, he had ups and downs. He even denied Christ 3 times. But man, when the Holy Spirit, I prayed this earlier, the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, and Nick saying, you know they're praying, and the walls are shaken, and all of a sudden, he becomes so bold for the kingdom of God, not losing sight of the incredible love of the Father. Let me just tell you, let me be honest with you for a moment. I'm always honest, but I'm going to be honest here, even more. I don't know what that means. But I can get so caught up in doing that I just miss sitting at the feet of my Heavenly Father. Just knowing that He loves me unconditionally. We can get so caught up like Simon Peter and just doing the next thing or just going here and going there and doing this and doing that we miss the fact that the Heavenly Father, God, the Creator of the universe, He loves us unconditionally. And Simon Peter ultimately, in time, runs strong for the kingdom of God. You know, in Revelation chapter 2:2-4, the church of Ephesus, He says this, I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And your perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary, In verse 4 it says this, "But this I have against you, that you have left your first love." He says, man, you've gotten so caught up in doing that you miss just what is compelling and pushing you to do, and that is the love of the Father. But see, Paul gets it. Peter did too eventually. But Paul gets it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. He says this. He says, "But whatever things I gain, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." See, Paul realized that the overwhelming love of the Father, the unrelenting love of the Father, it's overwhelming to us, it's not overwhelming to him. The unrelenting love of the Father propels him to surrender all. It propels him to surrender everything. Paul says, "Hey, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He says, the surpassing understanding, the just incredibleness of your great love for me propels me to surrender every bit of who I am. Every bit. You see, David explained that. It's real simple. When you realize that God's love for you is greater than you could ever fathom, then it's really not hard to lay down, to surrender your future to God. Think about that for a second. You can really try hard to create this future and to make everything go right and to do all this stuff, but yet when we relinquish that, when we surrender what God is doing in our lives and our future to Him, we know of His great love for us, so it compels us to trust that He is going to lead us and not leave us. I don't know about y'all, but when I think about my future, when I think about tomorrow or the next day, and I know that it's in God's hands, man, I got peace. I don't care where I'm at. It doesn't matter what state, what city, or even if I'm up there. I got peace. Because I know the great love of the Father for me. And so it brings about peace when I surrender that to God. See, we see in Paul's life, he says, go back to Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11. Go back to verse 7 for me. I want to just start again. "But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." He says, listen, I'm surrendering every bit of who I am to God because I know that His life serving the King because of His great love for me is going to be a whole lot better, so much greater than anything I could ever do on my own. That's why I sign everything a bondservant of Christ, as Brother Ed spoke it earlier. "More than that, I count all things as loss or garbage." Man, he's saying, not only have I surrendered these things, but I realize that all these accolades, all these things in my life, I've surrendered them to God, and I realize, man, it's garbage compared to the love of the Father. All these things that we work so hard for, these things that we pride ourselves in, God's saying, man, that doesn't even come close to value to the love of the Father. So why do we become harlots to these things? Why do we, using a big word, why do we prostitute ourselves to the love of the world when the love of the Father is so rich and so pure? Why are we not surrendering all this stuff to say, God, it's all for you and for your kingdom? Paul says, "More than that, I count all things as garbage in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, but garbage, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having righteousness on my own derived from the law, but that which through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death." Listen, Paul says, that I may know him, I've surrendered all things. Have you surrendered every piece of your life because of God's great love for you? Like, I can't express it any more than what I've just expressed. God loves you unconditionally. Nothing you can do can make him love you any less. Nothing you can do can make him love you any more. God's love for you is unconditional. And God says, I love you. So don't go and serve these other gods. That's what he told the nation of Israel over and over. He said, don't go serve these other gods. You have a God who loves you so much. But yet in our life, we find ourselves over here trying to satisfy our heart with other gods. If we lose sight of our first love, we begin to live an unsurrendered life by trying to do things and fix things in our own power. Think about that for a second. When we lose sight of the unfathomable love of God, his unrelenting love for us, when we lose sight of that, we begin to try to do it in our own power. And let me just give you this. I really want you to write this down today. I want you to take this home with you. A surrendered area or life to God, a piece of your life that's surrendered to God, will always yield peace. A surrendered area of your life to God will always yield peace. And it will always be for his kingdom and for his glory. I can't even get past the fact that the Creator God of the universe is willing to use you and I. Brother Ed just sang a song, I was born to serve him. Like, the Creator God of the universe said, I love you so much, I sent Jesus. And so now, in my love, I propel you to go work for the kingdom of God. It's through his love that we're propelled to do that. I mean, the Creator God who spoke earth into existence loves us that much. A surrendered area of our life, or a life surrendered to God, will always yield peace and kingdom work. An area of your life unsurrendered to God will always be you trying to do it, and it will yield fear and worry. You say, David, I'm worried about something in my life. It's not surrendered. Whoa, 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 David, that's way too strong. I can't believe you'd say that. Well, is God's word a liar? God's word tells us that he brings peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because the peace that God gives us is wrapped up in the fact that he loves us unconditionally, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And the Bible says nothing can take us away from the love of the Father. Nothing. So if we're sitting here and we're saying, David, I'm so worried, I'm so scared about my retirement. I don't know if I have enough money in there. I don't know if I've done this. I don't know if I've done that. I'm so worried. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, surrender it. Surrender it to God. David, my job, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to get the promotion or not. I don't know if they're going to have layoffs and cuts. I don't know. The ifs are just running through my head. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Surrender it. See, God loves you that much. Do you think he's going to leave you or forsake you? That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because he realized that a surrendered life and the love of the Father, that God's going to be with him whether he's poor or rich. No matter what he goes through in his life, God's going to be with him through it all. And I don't know about y'all, but that's all I need. That's all I need. See, we can get so focused on our earthly things and our earthly life, and we miss the fact that God says, hey, it's something a whole lot greater. You say, David, I'm so worried, I'm so consumed, I'm just so fearful of my past. Like all these things, and David, I don't know. My past is just, it's haunting me, it's coming after me. Like I've got to justify it, I've got to fix it, I've got to take care of all this. No, you need to surrender it. If God loves us as much as the Word says, which I know is true, He's already paid the price on the cross. Surrender your past to God, and let me tell you something, you will have peace. Now let me just continue on. Maybe you're saying, David, I'm worried, I'm concerned. My children, like, I got to raise them perfectly. I got to do this, I got to do that. David, I don't know what to do. And I'm saying, surrender your children to God. Surrender them. If God loves you, like it says in the Scripture, with an unconditional love, do you think that He loves you with your children too? Absolutely. See, fear and worry and anxiety goes hand in hand with you trying to do it in your own power. When I was in college, and even days of my life, I try to juggle things and try to make things perfect and to fix things and to try to make sure everything's going right. Let me tell you something, it always comes and falls back on me. Why? Because it's not surrendered. It's not surrendered. Even over the last days, God showed me areas in my life, and I fell on my face before holy God, and I said, Lord, there's that fear, there's that worry. And God's saying, surrender it, David, before the throne of God. I love you. Don't think I'm immune to this because I'm a pastor. But what does Luke 9:23 say? If you want to follow after me, anyone who wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily. Everybody say that together. Daily. How often do we have to surrender? Daily. You say, man, I was surrendered yesterday and I had peace, and then today came. And fear and worry and anxiety and all this stuff. What am I going to do? And God's saying, I love you just as much today as I did yesterday. Like, has my love changed? No. You may be struggling in your finances. You may be so focused on a plan that you've forgotten to surrender. I'll give you a perfect example of my own life. Over the last several years of my life, I was so focused on a plan to get this, to get that out, no debt, and this and that. And that's a good thing, not to have debt. I'm all for it. But let me tell you something. You can have the greatest plan in the world and you can get out of debt, but let me tell you something. If it's not surrendered, you're still not going to find peace. You can say, you can go on the Dave Ramsey show and shout out, I'm debt free! And have no peace whatsoever because it's still not surrendered. It'll never be enough. But when it's surrendered and you know the love of the Father loves you unconditionally, if you got $10 in your bank account or if you got $5 million in your bank account, let me tell you something, the love of the Father is still the same and He will never leave you nor forsake you. So let me close with these things. Maybe today we just need to stop and be in awe of who God is and His love for us. You know, earlier we sang, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. He loves me. And He loves you. Maybe today what you need to do is stop and be still and know that He is God. And in stopping and being still and knowing that He's God, you need to feel and sense the presence of the love of God all around you. Mercy Me used to sing that song way back in the day before they were famous. If I could just sit with you a while, moment by moment, till forever passes by. One of my favorite songs. If I could just sit with you, God, for a while, my Heavenly Father. Maybe today you just need to get to the place where you say, David, you say, God, I just want to be in awe Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Psalm 51. It's personal, guys. Ladies, it's personal, church. David, all throughout the psalm, said, my Redeemer, my Healer, my Rock. It's personal. It's not just names of God. It's personal. He is my all in all. My all in all. Maybe today you're sitting here and you're saying, David, I've tried so hard to hide my deeds in the darkness. And all it's done is brought about more anxiety, fear, and worry. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what's going to happen when you continue to hide that in the darkness. But Jesus says, I come to give you life, life abundantly. Maybe today, body of Christ, God's showing you areas of your life where you have tried in your own power to do it. And I'm talking fear and worry and anxiety has been birthed in that. And today, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. How many of you really want to continue in fear and worry when the all-knowing, all-powerful King of Kings, Creator God of the universe says, I love you unconditionally. I don't know where you're at today, but I do know this, that God is speaking to all of us, including myself. As we close, and the altar is going to be open here in just a second, it's always open. But as we close today, I told you I wanted to sing a song or two. There's a song that just continued to come to my heart. Continued to just rise up in my soul this week. And so here in this moment, I want us to sing this song to God. Just one stanza. You all know it. But I just want to sing this one stanza. And then after that, man, Brother Ed's going to sing. We're going to have a time of just responding to God. If you're sitting here saying, David, man, there's some things I need to surrender. Man, this altar, come fall on your face before God. You say, David, I don't want to get out of my seat. I don't want people to know. Listen, we are the body of Christ. God's called us together. It's okay for us to encourage each other. If anybody thinks less of you for coming down here, they need to go read the Bible themselves. One of David's wives came after him for dancing before God. You can see it in the scripture. Don't let the fear of other people stop you from just falling on your face before a holy God who loves you unconditionally. Do you think Jesus was embarrassed when he went to the cross, embarrassed for you? No, he loved you unconditionally. But here's a song that God put on my heart. And I want to sing it together. I'm going to read it to you and then we'll sing it. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. All to you, Lord, I surrender. All to you, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, I will daily live. And then it goes, I surrender all. But let me just say this before we sing this as a congregation. Paul was blinded in religion. Don't sing this if you don't mean it. Don't be like Saul, who was blinded by religion. Be like Paul, same person but transformation. Be like Paul, who said, I give you all. I count all things as lost, God. I surrender all in view of your matchless love and grace for me. Your unrelenting love for me. So let's stand and sing this. And right afterwards, let me just tell you, Brother Ed's going to sing and we're going to have a time. Brother Randy, myself, Brother SL, we'll be down front. And we would love to pray with you. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be one of those on my face before Holy God. Let's sing this song together.
All to you, Lord, I surrender. All to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you in your presence daily. I surrender.
Take my feet and learn.